Are we all back?
Yeah.
I am.
Good. Okay, great. Well, it's going to be just a cozy group today. Any announcements?
We just had the abstract.
Well, I do have. Yep, the abstract deadlines, and I left those posted on the network page so that if you want, if people ask, you can direct them to that page. The links are to the Google Docs, one for GSA, one for AGU, and when you go there, for GSA, since there's just two, the descriptions are right there, and then there's links to where to submit an abstract. For AGU, since there's so many, there's links to descriptions of each, and then links to where to submit an abstract. So that's all there in one place and is not in an email. I will send out more reminders. For GSA, as of the end of last week, we only had one abstract submitted. So we've now gone after our invited speakers to say, please submit your abstract.
Oh, you don't even have those.
We don't even have those yet, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, people kind of wait till the last minute. They're due a week from today for GSA.
So,
Josh Schneiderman, in response to the email announcement of this meeting, asked me to make an announcement for the Department of Energy's virtual webinar on August 5th at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. They're going to be, it's basically an energy town hall to hear about national, local, and new media K-12 efforts in energy education.
Okay.
So, and it looks like you have to register for it. So I didn't really want to, I thought if I did, there was nowhere for me to post this that people would easily see it. So if you know people that are interested, just have them email me. I can forward, or they can email Josh, but I can forward his email with the registration link. I also did, they had it posted on Facebook, and I shared that on the Clean Network Facebook page. So that's another place people could find it.
And I think you sent something out to the listserv, if I remember correctly.
That's possible, but it might have been a while ago. When you have to register for something and go to a link to do that, those things get lost.
They sure do. I'm trying to figure out where I have it. I saw it and I said, oh, it's in the future.
Yeah. Well, we did put together, so I gather he's collecting slides, single slides from different efforts. And so I did a slide for Clean.
Can you send me that slide just so I offset nicely? This is Frank.
I can do you. I think I sent it to you last, but it's been updated a bit. And you know what I'll do, Frank? I'll also forward you this in case you need, which is just their email describing this thing. Because you're going to be speaking on that, aren't you?
I'm there, too. I mean, so it would be good if we offset and complement it as opposed to...
Right. You know, well, when Josh asked, I didn't really know what it was. And when Josh asked about the slide, I said, well, none of us are planning to be there. And he said both you and he were going to be there, so one of you could do the Clean thing. So I said, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that. So let's see. I'm going to have to find... It'll take me a minute to find his email, so
fine.
I won't do that.
We don't have to do this in real time.
Okay. Okay, so Frank, I saw that you kind of joined us a few minutes later. Do you have any other announcements? What's the status of our NCA regional pages?
So where that is I had a conversation with the point of contact at the White House, Laura Potesh, about this, and I think where we're currently sitting is that I'm going to reach out to the public affairs part in NOAA and see if we can get an announcement process developed through them. It would be really, I mean, the point here is if we just make them live, and we, you know, send out a couple of emails to the Clean Networks and all that kind of stuff, we're really going to get very little traffic.
Right.
And we're trying to find what are some promotioning marketing initiatives. Even if we had gotten that announcement through the White House, it would have been buried. So it's probably better that we wait and try and figure out the marketing strategy. But
so are they live?
They are not live. They are still in an unpublished state. But, you know, maybe we should call a side conversation just with all the whoever from the teams mm-hmm. wanted to be involved and you know, what do we want to do? And let me dig into some more options on my side, and then I'll get back to you guys mm-hmm. soon as to
okay.
what's the best way to do this.
And so just
kind of
Mary Jo and yeah, okay. So Mary Jo and Scott, just so that you know, so Frank and I have talked about, these are going to be what Frank is talking about is having them being posted on climate.gov, but we also had talked about them being posted on Clean. And so Frank has said that any changes he makes to the climate.gov versions, he will make on the Google Docs versions, and we will make that visible through the Clean portal. So that's kind of the plan right now. So the Google Docs is where we'll and I'm thinking right now, Frank, I'm not knowing this for sure, but I think that you can only edit those Google Docs if you're one of the authors. Is that correct, or do you know? Because we don't want other people coming and altering them.
Yeah, we could look at that to see what the...
I shouldn't say one of the authors. I should say you've been individually invited to edit
exactly.
them.
I actually, the ones that I was involved with, which is the Northeast and the Coast and the Oceans, I think we set it up for anyone who had the link. That was a request.
Well, I think we might before we make them public on the
yeah.
Clean portal, we need to change that so people can
yeah.
only view them if they have the
yeah.
link.
Right.
I agree.
And then invite
okay.
individuals that we know to edit them. And actually, right
good.
At this point, once they go live, we actually only want Frank to edit them because we want them to match what's on
yeah.
climate.gov.
Right.
And some of those changes... It can only be done by the owner, so I know that I own, I think, at least two of those are ones
right.
that I set
I think
up.
I created the one for the Northeast.
We may have to go and just figure out how, you know, who's the group that we want to have
right.
to edit, plus Frank. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well,
I can do that.
And the other issue is that Scott, you mentioned this, is that some of those teams were smaller than others for some of the regions, and it would be good if we could widen the circle and include more people as contributors to those.
My question. If we've got a little
well,
bit more...
I think that, Frank, you're right. I think what we'll have to do in order to get control over and consistent control over who can edit, we probably should have call of each lead from each particular one, so that we probably need to have another one of those calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a little bit of time. We have a little bit of time before, but let me still dig into the options to see what promotional. And the one last thing on that is that if we pull together a group of climate change education announcements, you know, that become a bundle, and
mm-hmm.
become focused, as I said, as opposed to something, you know, lost and with other things, then this could come back in and get, you know, fresh
mm-hmm.
looks and more promotion in that space. But we're
mm-hmm.
trying to do that before, you know, like mid-October. They don't want to literally, we'll see what happens in November.
Right. Yeah.
So you're thinking these won't go live until then?
No. What I'm saying is we could go live with a promotional, you know, say NOAA press release, assuming that they even do
mm-hmm.
that. And then, you know, in a month or 2 weeks or whatever. And then we could re-announce something that's
right.
already released as part of something else that has elements that are being announced.
Yeah.
So it just because we go live earlier, it doesn't mean that we don't. I mean, I think this should go live as soon as possible. But at
okay.
the same time,
well,
it doesn't mean we miss
the
opportunity.
The other thing is I would like to go live on the Clean portal at the same time, and we have to design the page. I mean, not that it's going to be hard, but we are in the process of creating that mashup of the Clean Network. So the Clean Network link will appear on the homepage of the Clean portal, and the Clean Network homepage will look like a homepage. That's going to be sort of based on the structure of the Clean Portal homepage. So, and these things, we'll have to discuss it, but these things will probably, actually, they'll probably appear on the Teaching About pages. We'll have to figure out where is the best place to put them.
Yeah, that's where I put them.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. We can find a home for these. And camera just
easier to there actually because we're not changing that page very much.
Exactly, and I think you're really looking at one page, which is the overview page, and then it has a map
exactly.
and links, and then
right.
everything else becomes Google Docs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So I think if I remember correctly, our original idea was to have this ready for teachers in the fall. So I'm guessing that gives us kind of a 5 week or so window here, 6 weeks, the beginning of July.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to Mark about getting a telecon together.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we should do that with especially, well, just simply have it wide open, I think, as we did before with the joint one with the education affiliate group. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, Mark has organized that, so I...
Yeah, he and Linda, and probably Rachel now.
Okay.
Well, those are our announcements.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Is there anything else people would like to discuss?
Well, I have kind of like a big topic, and I haven't quite figured out where I am with all of this stuff. I'm getting rather frustrated with this sort of slow progress with the education stuff, and I find that increasingly I'm wanting to spend more time on things that are much more active and more advocacy oriented. And I'm not sure whether other people are going that way or not. It just seems like it's so slow what we're doing. Maybe I need to be cheered up and say, yes, there is progress. We're getting the stuff out there. Change is happening. We are seeing some differences. Perhaps the November election will give us a little bit better sense of where we are sort of politically here, but this is such a process. And, you know, Frank, as you certainly know, the data in terms of warming from June, highest since, what, 1880 or something like that. I mean, we are seeing the enormous effects of climate change, and nobody seems to care.
Well, but so Scott, I think one thing that would be really valuable for our community is mm-hmm. to be better at articulating the strategic value of education and mm-hmm. what it can bring to bear, when it can bring to bear. You know, because a lot of people, as we reach into the philanthropic space,
yes.
They're going to want to know if we make significant investments, so somewhere in the order of over $200 million, because that's we put in the federal space $111 million minimum.
Right.
We know it's more than $111 million since probably 2008.
NASA.
Just
actually, Frank, from our table in the JGE paper, I added up it's about $126 million.
Oh.
Right, but then we know it's even more than that because we know that there's ISE, NSF that was never counted.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, I'm just talking about the tri-agency.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers
yeah.
they gave us
yeah.
that we are publishing in the JGE Clean Network Collective Impact paper. Sums up to approximately 126, not 111.
Well, yeah. So they may have revised that number last time, but it's still that the larger point here is that the you could sink $1 billion into education and have almost no impact, or you could be. What are the strategic investments in education, and why would you make them? I think we as a community have to do a really sharper job of making that case. Mm-hmm. than we've ever made it before. Because if we're going to ask for the Bloombergs and Pisces Foundations and, Carnegie and so on to invest in this space as a key piece of, responding to climate change, I think we are hard-pressed as a community to do a better job than we've ever done before for the community. And then the sub-pieces, would fill in from there. I just think that we've not done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Scott, just, when I was out at the Kettering Foundation on deliberative dialogue, democracy mm-hmm. work, they had a ton of photos of different things, but you know, one of the ones from, you know, Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. which was, you know, the quote is, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world."
Mm-hmm.
That's Nelson Mandela. So,
yes.
You know, what does that mean for us? And what are
yes.
we specifically doing in that space? And when would we expect to see those results?
Mm-hmm.
That's important thinking that I think we could do
yep.
better.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, I know. I totally understand that. I just, there are times that I feel like we're, you know, spinning wheels, and maybe it's because I've spent so much time doing alignments with Next Generation Science Centers and wondering to what point that is. As you know, Frank, and you and I are going to talk, I think, with some folks from California this week, and it's like,
yep.
okay, is it really making any change, spending, you know, more time on all of this kind of stuff? So that's kind of what I'm getting at.
You know,
Frank,
have either of you
found any more, gotten any more information about the coding of the Next Generation Science Standards
yeah.
from the chief?
Nope.
Yeah. More about
nope.
that.
Got nothing.
Okay.
Silence.
All right. Sorry.
I mean, it's a keep, but you know, maybe one way, Scott, that there's something I've started rethinking about is, and I think Tamara, I don't know who else is on the call, but it harkens back to the collective impact model and the, you know,
yep.
the backbone organization. I mean, if mm-hmm. we were, and I think Mark, he's coming back from Europe, and
mm-hmm.
his experience in the Europeans, the way they do this, they have centers. With
mm-hmm.
budgets and organizations and staffs and all the
yeah.
backbone structures you need in order to make change.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to, as a community, have to realize that we don't have that. We have
right.
what's the, in the collective impact model, before you have the ability to measure collective impact, the precursor stuff, there's a name
mm-hmm.
for it.
Yeah, there's the champion group. So like those of us that are
yeah.
ongoing, having ongoing conversations and trying to move the effort forward.
Yeah.
There.
I could say we've
now
done
I
that.
Have to go. Yeah.
You know, but
I think we definitely have to go
that.
Look. Mm-hmm.
But where I'm going here is that given, you know, the amount we've actually done is pretty significant
yeah.
with what we've had. But I think what we're really also coming up against is the reality that we don't have the resources, the infrastructure, to use this incredibly powerful endeavor called education as a key piece of responding to climate change, are you know, programmatically built in a way that it actually is going to maximize that potential. You know, it's untapped potential, not tapped potential, and that's the frustration. We should be
mm-hmm.
further than we are, but we've come so far, but our prospects for getting there in this country right now don't look good.
We're
running out of steam, and doesn't look like anybody's cutting any wood to put in the steamer.
Yep,
we're trying.
I'm looking for.
I'm not using coal, by the way. I'm not using coal.
Yeah, we're not putting coal.
Up and down the rainforest.
Yeah. No. Sustainable.
Sustainable.
I planted all the trees. Long time ago. But I share your frustration. But I mean, if the philanthropic public-private partnership space does not pan out,
yeah.
That's where I'm putting a lot of my hope. That we're able to establish a center for a organization with the ability to raise and deploy funds to tap into our untapped potential. That's kind of where I'm sitting.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll shut up.
And just to follow up on that a bit, so I think all of you remember the conversations we had last year, which we had accumulated into a Google Doc around collective impact and the backbone organization. I'll be having a session at the DRK 12 PI meeting at the beginning of August. But before that, I am going to be sending an email. I have actually put together all of the input from all of those conversations into an updated Google Doc, which I'm going to be sending an email. I think I finally have, I won't say everybody's email who participated in the discussions, but the large majority of them for input on that. And the session proposal I just put in was to have a session. We will have a session at AGU again. And we put in a proposal for the NCSE Energy and Climate Conference to have a session around collective impact again, where we start to try to have a conversation about a common agenda. And then Frank and I are going to, I'm going to be in Washington at the beginning of August, so Frank and I are going to meet for a day and sort of try to hash out how to make a more short and sweet argument that can be shopped around to potential funders.
Yeah, good.
From, you know, that would be extracted from that larger Google Doc, which right now, you know, it's organized, but it's long and detailed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just grew. Yeah, and I think this is the key model. I certainly collective impact. That particular paper from Stanford has had an enormous impact on both sides. You know, I got introduced from a grant making organization, not on our side, but on their side. That was certainly the way many of the philanthropic organizations are thinking about what they do. So we absolutely need to be, you know, attuned to that to make our case. It's the language that many of them are speaking now, and it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is still inherently frustrating that mm-hmm. It would have been nice if we were able to be where we are now, kind of in the maturity of the thinking in the space mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Not 2 years ago, beginning to realize that the profiles were declining, and you know, these things take time. They're slow, but breakthroughs can happen. So, but you know, I think as a community, the fact that we've realized where we are, we've begun doing the strategic thinking, but the other thing, Scott, that might be important in this is, you know, having a common understanding of why education is so critically important, mm-hmm. because I think that the advocacy stuff, we tried that with the larger community. I was involved in that, but the cap and trade buildup, they spent $1 billion trying to get that passed.
Yeah.
With all the normal advocacy stuff, didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't work. It just made the issue even more radicalized.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the caution I take from that instinct to go that direction.
Yeah, I was involved, and there's where my advocacy work was when I was working with the Sierra Club and cap and trade here in the Western states, and I was pretty deeply involved in that. And, you know, we got some of that stuff passed, though its impact has been relatively minimal. But it's you just sort of feel like there's some movement there that is happening faster than kind of the life cycle that we're talking about in terms of education. But I think what I'm hearing from you and Tamara, Frank and Tamara, is that sort of recognition that education has a much broader role here, and it's not, you know, the 5-year-olds and giving them another 20 years before they're starting to have impact, but it really is that the way the changes in education trickle into other kinds of realms, into political and economic realms, and that's really important. It is the driver, as Mandela sort of hinting at, that drives all of this stuff, and that's important to realize.
Right.
It isn't just K-12 education that we're doing, especially.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not.
Informal.
That's important.
All the other places in which this work spreads out. It is important. It's not just teacher professional development, which has been so much of my focus in the last while.
Scott, I'm going to be speaking with some undergraduate students tonight, as part of a lot of them come to DC as part of internships. And one of the key pieces I'm going to be saying to them is, you know, our response to climate change and the energy issue that's completely mm-hmm. connected to that, we're going to be doing this for decades. Decades. If you take the targets of, you know, renewable energy potential of 80%, you know, renewables by 2040 with an 82% reduction in CO2, that cheaper than fossil fuel investments on an annual basis now, that's real possible kind of stuff that we're seeing. But in order for that, that's 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a lot of the conversations I have on the advocacy side is get that policy passed. We're beyond that. That some of our stuff relates to that in an indirect way, because that's what citizens get to do if they choose to. But
sure.
I mean, we're talking 3 decades at least plans, not, you know, before the election of 2016. That's just, you know, it's a much longer view.
Yeah, and it has to be that way.
It's the right way.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that's kind of that's, but I mean, that means that we're making critical investments that mm-hmm. are these are human capital investments,
right,
in the nation. Right. So that's kind of where I'll get up myself.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, Frank, you had mentioned earlier the 3 preconditions for collective impact, and I actually found them, and actually we should have realized what they all were. So I mentioned the influential champions. The other 2 are financial resources and a sense of urgency for change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we now have 1.
Yeah.
1 of 3. You know, we don't have. What was the champion?
Influential champions. Influential,
yeah,
champion or a small group of champions. What we need is to broaden our group of influential champions to those funding groups that can. Or people
that
can help convince those funding groups. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, agreed. So
okay.
It was nice talking to you guys today.
It's the word.
Yeah.
What we're doing.
I mean, what you said, Tamara, is critically important as far as getting a strategic framework that we can operate independently on.
Right. Okay, well.
Any comments from Mary Jo?
No, I was just thinking how quickly the sense of urgency could develop, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You just have to watch the weather. I mean, it astounds me, you know, watch a national news report, and virtually every day it's some extreme weather event. Wildfires here in Washington State, you know, tornadoes, all that. You know, it's almost every day it's the top story. You know, there's a reason for that.
But, you know, Scott, the other side of that story is when we released the State of the Climate Report, the Google analytics from that release are terrible.
Yeah.
It's a sleeping story. It went nowhere. The page views were less than normal daily traffic.
Wow.
And the only thing we can, and where I'm going is that it was released into the space about the downed passenger jet in Ukraine, the fighting in Palestine, and the immigration issue and the southern border with the children. That's what we released that story into. And so, you know, if you take those 3 stories, they're all incredibly impactful, but they don't even come close to the scale of impact of the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
And yet we can't get that engagement space through media. This is why I'm getting back to education so powerful, is because you're going through another route that doesn't get noisy.
Yes.
So, anyway, I just got off my back soapbox again.
All right.
I'm staying off now.
We live.
You're staying off now. Okay.
Well, thanks for that. As I said, it pulled me off the ledge a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's good. We're here for you, Scott.
I appreciate that. There are times it seems like an enormous struggle, and I guess that's why we choose this work. It's very important. Good.
Okay, so we'll talk again next week.
All right, Chris.
Okay.
Was it just the 4 of us today, Tamara?
There is a 5th person on the phone. I don't know who it is, but
it's me,
there
Martha.
Are 5 of us. Oh, hi, Martha.
Hello. I keep wanting to pipe in, but it's nothing I've never said before, so I've just been quiet.
I see.
I feel like you're in your voice.
Well, I'm glad you called in.
Thanks, all.
All right. We'll talk again later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.